it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Wolverine Confidential Podcast. I'm Andrew Kahn.
I'm Ryan Zook.
And I'm Aaron McMahon.
Jim Harbaugh spoke about recent happenings within the Michigan football program and looked ahead to next season. We share and discuss his most notable comments.
Really looking forward to this month of June. I mean, that's things really get cranked up. Everybody seems to be in a good place. They seem regrouped and refreshed.
It will be an important month on the recruiting trail for him and his staff. We've got the latest on that as well. Plus, some Michigan basketball updates. That and more coming up on Wolverine Confidential. All right, guys, good to be with you here. Monday morning, June 5th. Been a little while since we've had a podcast, so just first things first. How you guys doing, Aaron? How are you?
I am well, enjoying the summer. It was a little warm last week, but I, you know, can't complain too much.
Ryan,
I'm ready just to chill out a little bit now. I just had my annual golf weekend this past weekend, and I woke up this morning and I'm like, my body, I can barely move. like someone please carry me and lift me out of bed, because it was a little bit stiff and sore this morning, but. Yeah, it's been pretty busy with some travels. I went to Disney over Memorial Weekend for the first time in I don't even know how many years, and that was an experience as an adult that was completely different as a kid. And man, I'm sure that that place makes a lot of money with how much they charge for certain things. That's for sure.
Yeah, wow, Disney Cruise, regular Disney World. We got this is 2/3 of the pod has been. Heavy on Disney these last couple months.
Yeah, my girlfriend is a huge Disney fan. She has an annual pass and stuff and has been trying to get me to go. So I'm like, all right, I'll check it out for one day. And we went to Epcot, and it was it was fun. It was cool. I mean, it's different than my typical usual vacations, but you know, it was actually flew back to Michigan. It was warmer in Michigan that week than it was in Florida. I'm like, oh my gosh. And it was even hot this weekend golfing too, but hey, better than snow.
Yes, absolutely. All right, let's get into some Wolverine news here. Jim Harbaugh spoke at football camp for high school players last week at Wayne State. Aaron, let's just go through some of the important things he hit on and kind of discuss them. What did he talk to you guys about afterwards?
Yeah, and before we even get into that, I just got to say, Jim Harbaugh this summer, he just seems like a cool, laid-back dude. Like I've talked to him now twice here in the last month. And there's just this vibe about him. And I think we've said that maybe last year, but you can tell the winning has kind of, the success has kind of taken over. He seems like a cool, chill guy. He seems more relaxed than I've seen in years past. He seems like he's in a good place. I preface that because he spoke to us for almost 30 minutes, which is very rare for him, especially with a larger group of media that he had on Saturday at Wayne State University in Detroit. He gave us quite a bit. He told us a lot about the offense. He updated some key guys. So I guess we'll get started. You know, we asked about, running back Blake Corum to start. He says he's recovering. He's coming along very nicely. They expect him to be a full go in time for camp, which is a good thing.
And it's all been in conjunction with the doctors. He's been, he's very coachable as a patient. As he is as a football player, and he's getting his conditioning back. It's much better now than it was a month ago. I anticipate that he's going to be even stronger and faster and better than he was before.
They feel like they're in a good place. We asked about the plan for those two running backs this fall? Because everyone, I think, wants to know how we're going to deal with those. Because, you know, we saw Blake average something like 20 carries a game last fall. It doesn't sound like that's in the cards for this year, which I think is probably smart. In fact, I asked how you know, Jim and the coaching staff plan to manage him and Domin Edwards, because Domin is on record now too as saying he wants more carries. He wants more of a role. So, you know, he told us he expects about 10 carries per guy. He expects a third running back to be involved. Obviously, that's TBD. We don't really know who that's going to be just yet. They got a quartet of guys back there who I think could take over, and we saw some good things in the spring game, so we'll see there. But another revelation kind of Jim mentioned was, you know, the passing game.
I see this offense being a 50-50 run pass.
I'm sure it will be, Jim.
That's important to point out. They've said that in the past. It'll be more even, and we'll see. I mean, this past year it was more lopsided than it ever has been. Or Jim Harbaugh, I double checked this morning, and there's a story up at MLive.com right now. But they're almost like 61-39 last year in terms of a run pass split, which is one of the widest in the country. I mean, they're 120th nationally in passing percentage. So he expects to be a little more even. He thinks they've got more weapons to go around. I think maybe that's where Domin Edwards plays a bigger role this fall, maybe in the passing game. Nonetheless, he was pretty open and candid, I thought, with some of the offensive ideas floating around going into fall camp.
I have a hard time believing that Michigan will ever be 50-50 with Jim Harbaugh at the helm, especially when you have Blake Corum and Domin Edwards coming back. Like, if he's saying that he expects 10 carries each, there's no way. I mean, Blake was getting 20-plus almost every game, and he's back, and he was a Heisman Trophy contender last year. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I it's probably more of a recruiting ploy for some receivers heading into this big, important June month. But, yeah, I mean, especially with their cupcake schedule to start off, I mean, they're going to be trying to run off the clock in the fourth quarter in some of those games too. So maybe in Big Ten play they'll be closer to 50-50, but if it's any more than 55-45, I'll be surprised. I think it will at least be 55% running when you have those two guys in the backfield. And I don't think, unless there's an injury, there'll be a third running back very involved. But I guess, I mean, it's only June. A lot can happen. But that was my first reaction when I saw, or when I read Aaron's story.
You know, that was my first reaction too when he said that stuff. You know, it makes sense, right? Because they got all these offensive line, big beefy offensive line. They've got, I mean, the last years, their success has been predicated on the run game. And I don't think they're obviously going to go away from that, but I think giving Blake fewer carries makes sense to me. I mean, he hasn't been healthy for a full season the last 2 years. I think at times he was probably overused last year, and you've got a second back here in Domin Edwards who says, hey, give me the ball more. And you can make the case, maybe he made an argument that he deserves the ball more. And, you know, you got to remember too, Blake almost left the NFL this year. He would have left had he not gotten injured. And we know how much tread is on running backs and how much, you know, typically they go to the NFL, right? So I think if you're Jim Harbaugh and you're the Michigan coaching staff, you look at that and say, maybe we shouldn't put so much on Blake. Because remember, and Jim is on record as telling Blake to go to the NFL after this past year, despite the injury, despite everything that happened at the end of the year, he told him to go. And I think part of that was Jim realizing, hey, you know, Blake's shelf life is short here, so he should probably go and make money and everything else. Well, Blake's rebuttal to that was, well, I want to be healthy going to the combine. I want to be healthy going in the draft to try and get drafted as high as you can and make as much money as you can. So I don't know if they're going to lean on Blake as much as they did this past year. He's obviously going to get, carry. He's obviously going to get the ball quite a bit in key spots, but I don't know if he's going to get the 20 carries we saw per game. I just don't. So I could see where the carries are more distributed. I see where Domin fits in here. They've got options at third back. I don't think third back's going to get 10 carries a game. That's probably unrealistic, but I could see where, you know, the ball is more spread out this year than it was perhaps last year.
And I could see if you had like a stud receiver coming back or that you brought in, but I mean, it's a pretty similar group as last year. And you lost Ronnie Bell, you lost Stewmaker. So it's not like you definitely lost a decent amount of production there. And I mean, yeah, Cornelius Johnson's back. Colson Loveland's probably going to emerge a little bit more, but there's not like any one receiving target that you can rely on every game to like, hey, he's going to at least get 8 to 10 targets. I mean, they've always kind of spread the ball to the receivers too. So if you can hand the ball off to Corum or Edwards, that's going to be the safer option. And especially with an offensive line, you're going to get 4, 5, 6 yards per attempt. I mean, why change what's been working? But we'll see.
No, and that's like the biggest question mark to me, right? Like, other than Cornelius Johnson, in terms of like a receiver, where else are they going to throw the ball? They have really no other guy that kind of has shown, maybe Roman Wilson, but
he's got to stay healthy though, too, and stay consistent.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no reliable like person that's kind of like proven themselves or shown that they can be trusted. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be a couple other guys. I mean, Derridge Clemens, I think they're expected to he's expected to, kind of develop and have a big season. Obviously, I think they'll probably use AJ Barter in the passing game. You mentioned Colston Loveland, and that's where I think Donovan Edwards steps up. I think he's probably going to get more targets too. But yeah, enough to make up for the loss of Ronnie Bell. And then, Andrew Anthony, AJ Henning, everything else. I don't know. And then not only that, make up for the loss, but then make up more for it to make a 50-50 split, like you said. So it's going to be fascinating. I don't know how this offense is going to be. I mean, obviously, I think it'll be run heavy, but as much as it was last year, I don't know. We can poo-poo Jim and everything else. And he said things in the past where you kind of scratch your head and say, I mean, this is coach speak, or that he's kind of blowing things up, but he's been right in the past. Remember the defense's past, or he thought the defense, could have been better than it was in 2021. And I think at the time, many of us laughed at him. In reality, at least from a statistical perspective, Michigan's defense was better in 2022 than it was 2021.
Yeah. Well, for first comment from Harbaugh, and, we kind of shut it down, or at least Zook does say, not buying it. I don't know. You got two guys who probably both deserve 20 plus carries, right? But so it's a good problem to have, I guess. All right. What were some of the other things Harbaugh hit on? I know we talked about Shemmy Schembechler as well, and then kind of the disaster that was that hiring.
Yeah, to his credit, he acknowledged it. He kind of took responsibility. He said, we should have did a better job of vetting him. Jim did reveal that the HR firm that they used, now he didn't name them by name, and I didn't get a name from the PR staff or anything else. They have since been let go. They're not using that firm anymore, they say. In fact, a team spokesman says that the program actually, or at least the athletic department, uses two different HR firms to vet hires and candidates and everything else. Either way, they dropped the ball, clearly. Jim acknowledged that. He said they should have done a better job of looking into social media. He even made the comment, like, if the public can find this in a day, then we should have been able to find it. He said he was disappointed. He's known the Schembechler family basically his whole life.
He's known Shem for a long time. But there's no sacred cows. I mean, it's not who we are. It's not us.
And, he was very disappointed. But like you said, there's no sacred cows. They're not going to hold on to someone who becomes a distraction or just something, controversial just because, they're friendly with the program. So Jim, I think he ultimately decided, I think he realized he needed to make the right move. They did. They accepted his resignation and Michigan obviously moved on.
We said this on the podcast. I think it was Ryan exactly, said what Harbaugh said. Like, if this could be discovered online, like by people just typing in his name on Twitter and searching it, like, how did, the company you paid to do just that, not find it? So, yeah, that was not a good look. But yeah, he owned up to it and they've moved on. All right. Yeah. Anything else from Harbaugh? I know we got some other football news, but what else that Harbaugh said, that kind of piqued your interest?
I mean, those are the big topics. I mean, life is clearly good. I mean, they got a lot of momentum from a recruiting perspective. Jim seems to be in a good place. He complimented the coaching staff. He made a comment that he predicts 4 of his assistant coaches will become head coaches perhaps as soon as next year. He said, in fact, he thinks all of his assistant coaches currently on staff could eventually become a head coach. So if we're to believe that to be the case, we might be looking at a lot of staff overhaul this time next year. Nonetheless, I mean, they've still got a season to go. He's really happy with where things are at. Staff is doing great. He complimented Ben Herbert again. Things are rolling with Michigan football, despite some of the off the field stuff.
Yeah, when you won 2 straight Big Ten championships, beat Ohio State both those years, got to the playoffs both those years, it's easy to see why he would be in the mood he's in. you spoke to Will Johnson too, the, you know, the cornerback who really came on late for Michigan last season as a freshman, and, you know, looks to really take on a starring role this year, but he's been sidelined this spring. Yes, he had a procedure on his knee.
Correct. Left knee, I believe. He had it scoped late winter, early spring. He missed all of spring practice. There were rumors floating around that he wasn't participating, wasn't practicing. I did confirm that to be true. Again, there's a story at upmlive.com/Wolverines with a little more detail. He spoke to us kind of after that camp Thursday in Detroit. He seems in good spirits. He's walking around just fine. He said he was going to get back to running this past weekend. He expects to be full go for camp. Expects to be able to play, you know, right away. And I think it's needed. I mean, Michigan, obviously, he's their star corner. He's going to be their number one guy. And with so much kind of unknown with the cornerback spot right now in terms of the second starter, I think they need him. I mean, he's clearly going to be one of their best defensive players. Really good playmaker in the secondary. He really came on last year. But yeah, he said the injury was kind of wasn't something he suffered last year. It was something he's kind of been dealing with since high school. It was something he kind of knew about. He just wanted to get fixed. So I guess he felt like it was the time. So it kept him out of spring. He said he didn't practice at all. In fact, he was pretty much spent most of the months of March and April kind of in the weight room. He said he didn't even watch much of spring practice because he was in the weight room working out. So he looked a little bigger, looked more. He put on some muscle, especially in his upper body. But yeah, he'll be ready to go. He expects to be full go for camp. And you know, Michigan's got a question mark at CB2. Maybe we'll get into that some other time, but there's a lot going on there. And I think Michigan got some figuring out to do.
Yeah, bottom line, Michigan needs Will Johnson to be healthy because, I mean, probably outside of J.J. McCarthy, he's probably their most important player just because of the depth at that position. I mean, there's just so many unknowns behind him. And even at that cornerback two spot, like you said, and yeah, it's if he's not fully healthy or can't go, that's a big hole to fill.
One thing Harbaugh did not touch on, maybe it hadn't actually come out yet or just, you know, wasn't asked of him was the schedule. We've got, you know, some game times and TV channels for some of these games that we didn't know already, including the first three. You know, Michigan starts the season September 2nd at home against East Carolina. That game will be on Peacock, the streaming only service from NBC. They're home throughout the non-conference. So the next 2 weeks, they're home against UNLV. That one will be on CBS at 3:30. And then the next week against Bowling Green, 7:30 p.m. On Big Ten Network. We'll discuss as we get closer to the season, you know, that the schedule itself is for the second year in a row, not good. You know, the non-conference is pretty weak overall, although East Carolina is decent. But yeah, the kind of more interesting thing here is the channels and the times. And, you know, this is the first year with this new contract with CBS and NBC. And, you know, sure enough, they've got one on Peacock. And I, you know, I've got a lot of friends and family that are Notre Dame fans. And I know they went through this, you know, the last couple of years with, you know, one of the Notre Dame's games being only on Peacock. And it's going to anger some people, confuse some people, frustrate some fans. I know that you've probably already heard from some of them, you know, kind of wondering why there's going to be a Michigan football game on Peacock.
Yeah, I think some fans are probably upset. For starters, you got to pay for it. You know, folks don't realize, or maybe they don't have streaming channels or whatever the case may be. It's a separate subscription itself. It's under the NBC umbrella, but you've got to pay a monthly rate. I think it's $4.99. I think you can get a discount if you buy like a year or 6 months. And there are some codes rolling around there. I saw one the other day. You can get like a full year for like $19.99 or something. So if you look around, you can get the cheaper rate. Nonetheless, you're gonna have to pay in some regards, or get an account from a buddy or a friend or a relative to watch at least the first game. It's exclusively on Peacock. It will not be on NBC locally. So I think some folks thought maybe it would be. So you're gonna have to pay to watch. It is important to point out, obviously, football games, there are a handful of football games on Peacock this year. I think there will be some basketball games on there as well. So it's going to become part of the regular rotation in some regards. I know Michigan State's marquee non-conference game this year against Washington is going to be on Peacock exclusively as well. So get used to it. It's kind of the nature of the beast, so to speak. The Big Ten inked a seven-year $7 billion TV rights agreement this past summer, as everyone probably knows by now. part of that with NBC, and part of that is with giving, you know, Peacock exclusive games. So Michigan will start on there. They get a night game with Bowling Green. It's kind of become, it seems like it's become a kind of a regular thing now. It seems like the last couple of years they've had one of their non-conference games has been a BTN night game. And that is, again, the case this year with Bowling Green in week three.
What the heck else is on Peacock besides these random sports games? Like, I wouldn't even know, like, what else you can watch on Peacock besides the Michigan game coming up.
I don't know. I assume it's where they house their, you know, their shows, their you know, popular shows that, you know, you can watch and, you know, after the fact. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know much else about Peacock, but
doesn't sound like I'm missing out on much.
Yeah.
Andrew hit it. It's a lot of like NBC. I don't have it, but I know people that do. It's a lot of NBC sitcoms. And I know that obviously sports and a lot of Notre Dame's on there. I think Premier League soccer is on there. They do, I think, hold the rights for WWE. So you pro wrestling fans, you can watch the pro wrestling libraries on there. So they do have stuff. I don't know if it's as like exhaustive as like Netflix or Amazon Prime or whatever the case may be, but.
Yeah, I mean, this was inevitable. It'll take some getting used to. There'll be some complaining, and then you kind of move on. You know, there's that night game against Bowling Green, you know, primetime game. I think it's like it's been a few years now where these primetime games, it's primetime in the literal sense, you know, not in the figurative sense at all. I mean, you had Hawaii last year, Middle Tennessee State, you know, recently. Like, it's just become the trend now for Michigan to have one of its non-conference games in prime time. Now, some years that was, you know, not too far ago, that was Notre Dame, whether home or away. So that kind of fit the bill a little more for prime time. But yeah, these other years, it's just been one of the games. So
for recruiting, it's all for recruiting purposes. You get these guys that play early on Friday or late Friday nights, or can get them up on visits for a game on a Saturday night, instead of them having to get up super early in the morning. And they always try and market one big recruiting weekend game, and it's a non-conference game typically for guys to visit. But I mean, sucks for us, but you know, what's better than hanging out with your coworkers until 3 a.m. in the press box?
It's good for TV too. Like the network.
Exactly. It's yeah. TV.
They like isolating. Folks don't realize, like, the more you can isolate one game to go up against less competition, the more you can maximize audience. And that's a big reason why. Like, typically, you know, 10 years ago, this game wouldn't have flown like at night. Like, people, like, it wouldn't have been such a big deal. But now there's so many games on TV, so many games, especially in the early noon and 3:30 windows. Yeah, that's why you're starting to see more and more games go to prime time, because historically there were only one or two of them, and now it's become like 4, 5, and 6. They're trying to maximize audience. That's what it's all about.
Then why are all these Big Ten teams crying about having to play night games in November?
Yeah, well, I mean, they don't want to do it, right?
I mean, that's the other thing. So, I mean, I have heard from fans. I mean, it does make more sense if you're going to have the night games to have them in September. You know, in Ann Arbor, where it's, you know. I mean, heck, sometimes those noon or 3:30 games can be hot early in the season. So to have it at night is better than November. Now, obviously, they're not having this just instead of the November or late October games. It's become in addition to, but so be it. I think, well, what were the other games we learned? We already knew Ohio State was noon and on Fox, but I think we got the Rutgers game. Yeah, the Rutgers, the first home game is noon. And then, yeah, Penn State. Noon at Fox, that's at Penn State, November 11th. So still waiting on, you know, about half the games, but, yeah, we've got a little more information on the football schedule. All right, Zook, you talked about recruiting and how it can be, It's a big deal, though, that night game in September. But this month of June is an important one for the football program. I guess, you know, tell us why and kind of what to expect here on the recruiting front.
Yeah, I mean, it's officially official visit season. So prospects in the 2024 class can go to now as many programs as they want, and the schools will pay all their fees and all that stuff and their trips to come visit and check out the program, get to meet some of the current players, other recruits, interact with the coaching staff, tour the facilities. It's really just an all access look to inside the program. And I mean, Michigan typically does a pretty good job, especially in these summertime visits because, yeah, the weather's nice. That's coaches aren't as stressed out during the season. They have more time on their hands to be able to really build these relationships with these players. And it's going to be a busy month. Every weekend they're going to have visitors. This past weekend was actually their lightest visitors list with just, I think, four official visitors, couple edge guys, couple twins too, the Smith twins. One of them's already committed, actually. Gerard Smith, he's a four-star defensive lineman in Michigan, still working on his twin brother, Jared Smith, or Jacob Smith, sorry, who would be a nice edge addition to the list. So I would assume that Michigan's going to get a few guys this month. I was speaking with Bryce Marich of the Michigan Insider here last week, and he's like, yeah, I'm probably expecting three or four, but I wouldn't be surprised if six guys end up pulling the trigger because they have 17 commits right now and spots are filling up. And, you know, the longer some of these guys wait, if they're on the fence, they might not have a spot when they're ready to make a decision. So that might put some pressure on some guys to make a decision maybe earlier than they'd like. But if you want to join this class and it's a top five class right now. I think it was number two when I last looked. That's a lot of momentum, and guys want to be a part of it, and they might have to. And they're in Michigan's in contention with a lot of top guys. So we'll see what happens. It'll be a busy month. Stay tuned to see what happens, but I would definitely expect a few commits to come down this month.
Among the notable visits over the weekend was Josh Wallace, transfer portal DB from UMass, and that would be for this season. We talked about the need at cornerback, and he certainly could provide that. I think he visited Thursday and Friday. He had other visits lined up, but he's Michigan's certainly in the running for him as well.
Yeah, another guy that was just here this past weekend too was Jordan Shipp, three-star wide receiver. I mean, he's teammates with five-star quarterback commit Jaden Davis and Channing Goodwin as well. So a four-star receiver. So, I mean, if Michigan can get three guys from the same school in the same class, that'd be pretty impressive. And, yeah, I mean, as we know, Jaden Davis, Michigan's first five-star quarterback recruit since J.J. McCarthy. I mean, if he could come in with two of his high school receivers and already have that chemistry built in, you kind of got to like that. So we'll see what happens. But no news as of yet as far as new commitments, but it could come down at any time.
All right. And then, yeah, I feel like the same with the Michigan men's basketball program. They'll be adding some talent here in the near future. You would think they've got to do it. They've got, they still got those three open scholarships. And they don't want them to go unused. They need help. This team needs probably another big man, another true center. Terrace Reed Jr., rising sophomore, is the only one on the roster right now. They need some backcourt scoring help, probably. Of course, lost Kobe Bufkin and Jet Howard, not to mention Hunter Dickinson, so their top three scorers from last year. Tennessee forward Olivier Kamwa is in the mix. He's visiting or visited already, but he's got other visits too. But he's he's in play to help in that front court. Zion Pullen, a guard from University of California Riverside, put Michigan in his top five, and is hoping to visit. And there's others who are possibilities as well. So this is going. This is just kind of the new normal as far as, roster construction going now into June. It's like just looking back at, all right, what was I writing about, this time in previous years, and usually already looking ahead to the next year as far as recapping the guys who were on the team last year, what they need to bring, what they need to improve, for the next season. But you can't really do that yet when the roster isn't even set. So, usually the freshman, in this case, there's only one, but is going to arrive later this month. And they start their summer workouts, but do not have a full roster yet. As Phil Martelli, told me weeks ago, after Caleb Love decommitted, like the roster you see right now, the players that are listed on the Michigan roster, that's not the team we plan on going into next season with. So there's still work to be done, and we'll keep an eye on all that. But stay tuned to MLive.com/Wolverines for updates on all of this and more. Thanks for listening.